The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Hola, ¿qué tal, mi gente? I'm Byron Gonzalez here for a SoCal Sound Session. And, you know, I always bring you some great musicians to enlighten you with, to, you know, just enjoy this video with. And while we have you here, please subscribe. I almost forgot about that. But today, I have an amazing singer-songwriter out of Nashville. Her name is Maddie Diaz. She just played a sold-out show at the Troubadour, and she's the creator and producer, co-producer. She's produced a couple songs on this album. It's called Weird Faith. It's available everywhere. You can stream music, and you can also purchase this lovely vinyl. Look at her. It's her on a horse. So cool. So here we have Maddie Diaz. Un gusto de tenerte aquí. Such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, awesome. This is an amazing album. I do want to get in depth about it. You know, you on the horse and the songs that you wrote. So vulnerable. There's a lot of, you're peeling the skin off the onion in this one.
And back and back and back.
Yeah, yeah.
And the getting, layers and layers.
Getting
and layers,
to the core.
Dying.
But I do want to get into some other layers of who is Maddie Diaz. I want to know what makes Maddie Diaz the person, not the artist. So, first of all, are you a coffee or a tea person?
Oh, coffee, big time.
Your coffee?
Yeah. Does that I've tried the tea thing, and every once in a while, like, I'll turn my back on coffee, but I always return.
Do you get, like, snobby about coffee, or do you just take whatever coffee
it's around? It's a recent snobbery, which is, you know, I'm not proud of my increasing maintenance, high maintenance with with the coffee thing, but yeah, I definitely love, like, a fancy pour over. But I like half and half of my coffee. That's a must for me.
That's always a must.
Yeah.
No alternative milks.
No alternative milks.
Just one.
No whole milk. I want half and half in the coffee.
Nice.
It's very important.
In that case, does that make you a morning person or are you a night owl?
I actually am a morning person. I kind of, my eyes just kind of like open at 7, 8 a.m. It's pretty painful, you know, especially, you know, if I'm trying to like make up for sleep or like the travel or whatever, it's still just no matter what I do, I'm up with the sun.
Yeah, your internal alarm clock just
relentless.
Has it out for you.
Relentless.
Oh, I can't imagine. And now I wake up like at 8 a.m., which is still not as early, but it sucks.
I've heard that it gets earlier and earlier too, so.
Yeah, I mean, my grandma used to wake up at 4 a.m., so.
Oh my God, here we come.
I was like, what are you doing, Grandma?
Here we go.
At the time of this taping, it was our solar eclipse. We got partial here in LA, but you went out in excitement to go check it out. Are you much of a person that likes to stare up at the sky, at the cosmos, at the universe? And if so, do you have a favorite planet?
Ooh, favorite planet.
Or cosmic entity.
I'm definitely just very aware, I think, of the things coming and going and moving and transiting and all of that stuff. So, I mean, I wish that I had glasses to stare straight at the sun, but I didn't. So I just kind of closed my eyes and, like, I put my face, you know, just, like, let it just splash me. I like to, you know, just, like, be aware of the possibility of being affected by that kind of stuff, or like the potential of being affected by that kind of stuff. You know, I'm open to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. There's the energy of the universe, right?
Yeah. I think it's important to pay attention to. And, you know, I like, I find myself, I definitely subscribe to a couple mm-hmm. of different like podcasty, like, you know, horoscopy podcasty sort of things. And I do find myself falling into a lot of like, oh man, I really have been feeling that a lot. That just makes so much sense. So, you know.
That's interesting. That's funny. Was, you know, growing up, what was kind of like an album, a CD that you just couldn't stop playing?
There are a couple that like sit pretty heavily in there. I'd say one of the most formative of that era for me would be Live Through This by Hole. Like just top to bottom, cool. Just like one of the best records I've ever heard. It was that one was really big for me. And then there was a Shania Twain record called The Woman in Me that I feel very similarly about, where it's just like there's just no skips and every song is just like gut-wrenching and just a pouring, you know? Like, and it's so funny because I feel like they're emotionally intense and like very different directions, you know what I mean? Like the whole record is a bit like, you know, high intensity, like sometimes middle fingery, but yeah,
a lot of attitude.
A lot of attitude and just emotional. And then, you know, the Shania Twain record, Man in Me is like same thing though, like just high potency, like very, very emotional and very like pouring your heart out and offering, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what artists do. I mean, I'm sure you feel it now, right?
I do feel it. I feel it. Oh, yeah.
That's your intent behind the album, behind songs that you put out. You're like, here's how I feel.
Yeah. Right? Yep. Yeah.
It's full circle for you now.
Full circle.
That's awesome.
And circle and circle and circle.
Nonstop.
Nonstop circle. We're
like
circling.
Like infinity.
Circle in the block.
What was one of the first concerts you ever attended to when you were little or whatever age you were?
One of the first like actual indoor concerts that I've ever been to was with my dad. I think I was like 13 or 14, and we went and saw Tool play at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York. And I had braces. I had like turquoise braces, and I was like wearing my combat boots, and I was like, and like my dad was like, he was like, he had me by the shoulders, and I was just like standing at the edge of a mosh pit. Like, I was just so excited. And it was just like, oh my God, the energy in those shows was just absolutely, I mean, just wild, totally wild.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So fun.
First one and combat boots too.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I had to have the outfit, you know?
Yeah, just in case someone got close to you and you could just kick
them. Just like throw down, yeah. Obviously, like as a 14-year-old.
That's funny. Hey, your dad would have probably supported you.
Oh yeah.
He's like, you kicked their ass.
He brought me. It would have been his fault.
Growing up, or when you first started having these musical inclinations, what was like the first instrument that you ever picked up or got your hands on?
Piano.
A piano.
Yeah, when I was like 5 or 6, my dad's a pianist. And so, you know, it was just very like, you know, I'd sit on his lap and he'd just kind of do, and then, you know, I'd put his hands on my hands and my hands on his hands.
Like kind of like driving.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly like that. Yeah. And he'd like work the pedals because, you know, my legs couldn't reach. And yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. So then how did that transition into you getting a guitar? What made you want to get a guitar rather than continuing on in your father's footsteps?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, piano's always been around. I think like, and music has always been around. Like both of my parents are just like big music lovers, and both of my parents are very like diverse in their like genre loves. It was kind of like a little bit of everything. But I started on piano, and then just kind of like, you know, 12 or 13 hit, and I was like looking for something a little bit more portable, and like maybe a little bit like cooler. Back in that era of, it was like 2000, you know what I mean? It's like, it was like, Third Eye Blind was so cool. Like, and Hole was so cool. And like, you know, all of these like punk bands, like Bikini Kill and like, L7 and like Liz Phair.
L7.
You know what I mean? Like all these like fucking like badass like women were just like strumming these guitars. And I was like, God, I really want to do that.
That's awesome.
It switched at some point for me around like, 13, 14, and like, I remember just like my dad saying like, you're not gonna get calluses unless you practice a lot. Like you have to practice a lot. Mm. And so I would like just practice until like my fingers bled, and I mean, you can't get anything out of these fingers. They're bloodless, they're gone.
Yeah, that's cool, wow, I can't. You see, that's why I never got into music. I cannot practice.
The practicing is, oh man, I mean, so I'm so tough on myself, you know what I mean? Like I've gotten better in my age, but I was so tough on myself then. So I just practiced and practiced until it was just like I knew I had it.
Meticulous.
Yeah, meticulous.
Wow. Well, now I got to know Matty Diaz. You got to know Matty Diaz as a person. Now let's find out who Matty Diaz is as a writer, as a person who created Weird Fate. But first, let's get into a song.
Yeah, let's do it.
What song you want to play first?
Let's play Same Risk first because, you know, you liked Same Risk, or you told me you liked Same Risk.
Yeah, I love that song. It's one of my repeats on my show, Bilingual
Skills. Thanks.
Here's Matty Diaz with Same Risk. Enjoy.
What the fuck do you want? 'Cause I'll give you all that I've got. I'll let you clean out my closet and I'll let you try on all of my dirty thoughts. If you lay in my bed, I know we're gonna have sex. It'll happen so fast, make it suicide pact, and you can't take that back. Do you think this could ruin your life? 'Cause I could see it ruining mine. And I feel mean for even thinking this. Are you gonna throw me under the bus? Make me take the hit for the both of us? All that I'm asking is, are we taking the same risk? I don't believe the words coming out of your pretty mouth. I let you comb in, now the call is coming from inside of the house. Can't tell which one of us is lying. Hurts like the feels, good like crying. Do
So, Maddie, can I call you Maddie?
Call me Maddie.
Not Ms. Maddie Diaz.
I'm so curious as to what else you call me.
Ms. Diaz.
Is there more?
Yeah. Maddie.
Yeah.
I just mispronounce it.
Yeah, everybody. Maddie. Maddie.
I kind of want to go back to the song Same Risk in a little bit and just kind of surface level, just from the song, not from like the, I guess it kind of relates to the song as well, but what is like a risk you took within your career that you think wouldn't have, if you didn't take that risk, you wouldn't be here at this moment? Mm. If there ever was one.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? The whole thing is a risk. The whole thing is risky. You know, I think there have been a couple of moments where I absolutely could have stopped. And I just didn't. And I'm really grateful that I didn't. And I'm proud of myself for not. And I'm really grateful that you know, songs have always just been a part of like how I digest stuff going on in my life, like process things going on in my world. And and if it weren't for songs, I don't think I would have gotten through some of like some pretty major life changes.
Right.
And I feel really fortunate that like, you know, the songs that came from those really big life changes also like have found as many ears as they have, you know, and like as many people have found some of those songs as they have. So yeah, I'm really glad that I just didn't stop, because I definitely could have.
Yeah, and to put those experiences down on paper, man, I can barely do that, you know?
It's so hard, it takes a lot. Even journaling is just like, oh God. Like,
you know what I mean? It's exhausting.
Like, you know you wanna do it, you know you gotta put it down, but like it's hard to like give yourself that time and like that moment, but yeah.
You know, after all these years and a couple albums out, and then your latest album, does it get easier with time, do you think?
I think some things get easier, you know? I think some things become more reflexive than they were before. It's like I journal a lot now, which is weird. Like, I actually never journaled, like, ever. 10 years ago, and, oh, God, exhausted. Like, every couple of months you would see a page, or like if there was something crazy going down, you would see like, you know, many pages for like a week at a time,
like a novel.
Then it would go away for a year. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Like,
and I've been so much better about like being consistent with like checking in with myself and like what's going on in my life, and you know, like there are definitely moments where like it's like walking into a room with a new person. Like sometimes that's as easy as breathing, you know? And then there's still some moments where like that just is, it feels like impossible to be honest with, you know, yourself and then the other person. And so it's just like the waves.
Yeah, well, even more so. I mean, if it's harder to be honest with yourself, how do you make it that it's, that you're honest with the public, because these are public songs,
right?
And you're, you know, I'm listening to the album, you're just like, whoa,
right?
You know?
Well, you know, sometimes I feel like it's almost easier, which is, this is such a weird thing. Sometimes I think it can be easier to be honest with strangers or people that you don't know as well as, you know, the people that like hold your heart almost as protectively as you do. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
A little bit. I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, that's what comedians do too. Like, you know, performers in general, they're able to like just spit it all out. But when you're in a room with someone, even a loved one, it's hard to get through that.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's almost just like kind of trying to stay like as present and as you can and like prepared to surprise yourself, you know, with like, with some sort of like new honesty. You know, I feel like sometimes I can learn as much in a room with a stranger as I can from, you know, being in a room with somebody that's known me my whole life.
Wow. So it's kind of like your song, Everything Almost. You kind of have to put your everything into your work, not even just a relationship, but everything you do.
Everything.
Is that kind of how that song came out? How did that influence Everything Almost?
Well, and you're right. Like it's like the same in a relationship as it is in like in a career, and or it is in like, I don't know, like when I'm like trying to go for a run. It's like it's like you want to give everything, but you have to reserve just a little bit. You know what
I mean?
That's
the almost part.
You have to. That's the almost part. You have to because I don't know, like when I've given all of it, you know, given all of it and given everything away, like, and not keeping any of it for myself, like, you know, I got to build up from ground zero again. That's really hard.
Yeah, I guess too, because when you mentioned running, like that popped into my head, like about giving, not giving it all, because even if when you're running, you give it all, you
all of it,
you exhaust yourself,
right?
So I guess, yeah, you can't give it yourself all.
Right, exactly. It's like in that emotional whatever exploration. Like it's like if you give it all up. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, not that you can't like show the whole thing. You know, I'm not saying that. Like I think you can't be like almost completely honest. You know what I mean? Like you're either honest or you're not honest.
Yeah, you get there eventually.
You get there eventually.
Like near the finish line, you're like, all right. I'm almost there.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Right? Or something.
we're getting there.
We're getting there.
We got to make a podcast to figure it out.
Yeah. We're circling the block.
We're almost there.
We're almost there.
That's a great transition into this one. I know that you were going to play Everything Almost. You want to get into it?
Let's do it.
Let's go in there. Here's Matty Diaz with Everything Almost. Remember, it's off of Weird Faith.
Is there something I can say I know? Or is this me being painfully, eternally hopeful? Oh God, you have no idea what you're doing, but I do. On the 9th of May I wrote it down. I found a journal when I was moving into your house. Big love, big love. Those were the words, it was gonna be big love. Is it gonna be okay if you keep some things just for you and I keep some things just for me? Is it okay if we give each other almost everything, everything? Can handle it, don't want to start believing it, so I completely avoid it. Is it gonna be okay if we really do this? I build a family, build a life. Dad always used to say that you can have everything, but not all at the same time. Everything, almost everything, everything.
Created this album, Weird Faith, Matty. I want to give this to you and then tell me the first word, first sentence, whatever comes to mind when you hold your album.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
It just is. It's just such a thank you. I'm really proud of it, which is like also a weird feeling, but I feel like, you know, every bit of art that you can like squeeze out and then like physically hold in your hand is actually just some, it is an actual wonder.
Yeah,
it just doesn't even make sense. Like,
and the fact that it's just like all your feelings, all your thoughts, and it's not a journal and it's out to the public.
Yeah, it's so cool that it gets to come out like this, like in this shape, in this. Yeah, it's special.
Wow,
lucky, very lucky.
Did this also bring any fun memories from the process of creating this album? I know that a lot of the songs are kind of sad, and but were there any pockets of happiness throughout this album?
There's actually a lot of joy in that record. Every single song, which is funny, you know, now in retrospect, every single song on this record, I thought I was writing love songs. I thought I was writing an entire record that was like a ode to a relationship that, you know, I was in.
Well, you definitely hear that too.
Yeah, it's funny though, you know, I feel like in retrospect, my partner and I broke up about almost a year ago. And it was funny, I didn't really listen to the record until we broke up. And when we broke up, I was like, oh, there's a lot of paranoia in this record, huh? There's a lot of
uncertainty.
There's a lot of uncertainty.
You looking forward.
Yeah, and like, you know, I think in that process of, you know, in the process of my last relationship, and I'm so grateful for this relationship. I think I like discovered so many parts of myself, like so much desire in like a sort of like future in partnership that I didn't know that like was a desire for me. And I think, you know, like desire like changes like depending on who you're pointing it at, right? You know? But with this person specifically, like I think I really wanted like a family and you know, kids and the whole thing.
You mentioned it in two songs.
Yeah.
You know?
I said it.
It was at the first song and then somewhere I forgot the other song that was in there because I just heard the album. And,
yeah. You know? Yeah, it's tough. I think I was like learning a lot about myself in that relationship and you know, finding the courage to say things out loud that I hadn't said before. Mm. And it's hard, you know, cuz I think I can also hear, obviously, like the songs are written from my perspective, and so you're only getting the one side.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, in the aftermath of that relationship, like how much of that it feels isolated in that singular perspective.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Now he's gonna go make an album, or your friends.
Bring it. Let's go.
Like this Maddie Diaz universe.
Like, I would love to hear you figure out how to say it. Let's do this.
That's hilarious.
Your turn.
Yeah.
Now you go.
Let's see how hard I work.
There you go.
Pass the baton.
Yeah, that's right. Take it.
You know, after doing a couple interviews, I'm sure you've had a couple interviews regarding the album. Is there something new that you've learned now, hearing back to the album, talking about the album? Is there a new revelation that has come to you about the album?
I think, you know, even in touring this record for the last 6 weeks and continuing to carry some of these songs forward, I think Weird Faith has really exposed itself to me, you know, even down to the song specifically. When I was writing the record, I was really in a place of like experiencing so many good things, you know, happening in my life. Really as a result of like so much, you know, like the hard work of the record that came before that. And I hadn't experienced, success is such a weird word. And because I don't really actually even feel like quite like I don't feel like successful yet, you know, like there, when do you ever arrive? You know what I mean? Like, when do we ever get to the place? We're not sure.
I think so. I mean, you have a vinyl.
I have a vinyl, very, you know, super success. That is a success in itself. But I think, you know, like even with that, it's like the constant trust fall of like believing in yourself and like believing that like, you know, that like your single human experience is like important, you know, just as important as anybody else's is. And like, I think like when I was writing Weird Faith, I was really trying to find like language to wrap around like why I should have the audacity or like the nerve to believe in myself again, you know?
like the audacity.
Right, like the audacity, like the nerve, like how could she possibly, but you know, I was like, I was really trying to justify believing in myself. And I feel like a lot of these songs are like kind of born of like the mantras that I was finding when I was, you know, like encouraging myself and saying like, yeah, it's okay. You can believe that like you're good at what you do and that like you have something worth saying.
Well, if anything, to your sold out show at the Troubadour says anything, yes, it's true.
Baby steps.
Feelings are true.
Baby steps. Still relearning how to believe every day.
It don't do you good if you don't believe in yourself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You like that?
I like that.
Let's get into the last song of the session. This one you created with Kwesi Musgraves.
Yep.
Or was this one that when you invite an artist to a song, or at least Kwesi Musgraves, did you already have set lyrics for her to sing, or is it she come?
I did, you know, I wrote the song. I wrote Don't Do Me Good with, her name is Amy Wadge. She is an incredible writer out of the UK. She lives somewhere over there. And, you know, we were kind of just talking about relationships and, you know, like even like the industry and like career and like why do we keep choosing things that are so difficult or like, you know, that like can become like it's this like fine line of like it's good, but it hurts, but it's good, but I think it's good for me, but it hurts. Or like, you know, relationships are hard and they're hard work and like they take work. And so, you know, so we were talking a lot about that and then Don't Do Be Good came about, and as I was making the record, it was this moment in the record where I was just like, oh God, I know that I can't feel this feeling by myself, you know. And Kwesi and I have talked a lot about, you know, we've talked life up and down a lot. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it felt like a good song for the two of us to share.
That's wonderful. Well, yeah. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Here's Don't Do Me Good, and sorry Kwesi Musgraves couldn't be here. But Maddie Diaz just does like just a fabulous job.
I try. I try to do it almost as good.
Just as good. No, equally.
Closer face, who on earth would I be without the sleepless nights when I turn out the lights? Would you recognize me? It's getting harder and harder to breathe underwater when I know you'll take me down. Every time I try to walk away, I stay. You knew I would. I know loving you, it don't do me good. And every time I wake up crying, I'm denying what I should. I know loving you, it don't do me good. 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 Without the make-believe, the what will be what gives me the right to keep dreaming. And without the dark, maybe there will be no stars, just broken floating parts for us to believe in. It's getting harder and harder to act like I'm smarter and tell you I know something I don't. And every time I try to walk away, I stay. You knew I would. I know loving you, it don't. It don't do me good. I keep coming back, and I keep coming back to you. Oh, when I deal with the fact that you won't give it back like I do. time I wake up crying, I'm denying what I should. I know loving you, it don't do me good. And every time I try to walk away, I say you knew I would. I know loving you, it don't do me good. And every time I wake up crying, I'm denying what I should. I know loving you, it don't do me good.
Maddie, it was such a pleasure to have you here to talk about Weird Faith and your work and your thoughts. And we got to know Maddie the person and Maddie the artist. But what's ahead for you after this? I know that materialistic is the wrong word, but just work-wise, you have Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep.
Tomorrow night at the time of this taping, she's going to perform at Jimmy Kimmel. But after that, What's ahead? Are you constantly writing songs? Are you taking a break? Are you going to go on more tours? What's ahead for you?
I'm actually leaving on April 24th to fly to Europe to open a bunch of shows for Kacey Musgraves.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we start in the UK, and then we kind of like do some stuff in Europe, and then we finish in the UK, and then, you know, just like some festival stuff this summer, and hoping to find some good home time at some point to do a little bit more like writing. But plenty of journaling should be done, you know, between now and then.
Yeah, maybe one of those will be a song.
Yeah, just maybe
Does that happen?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Okay.
That's why, I mean, it's one of the reasons that I've been like, oh right, journaling. Right.
Songwriting.
Oh my God, it's right there, and then the song is there. So yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I wish you luck. Thank you again for paying us a visit, talking with me, and yeah, I wish you luck with that Europe tour and your next album that might be on its way, like just from the journaling.
And you know, the next time, maybe in Spanish, who knows? Who knows?
Haz uno en español.
Un poquito.
Te digo. That's great. She is Peruvian, by the way, little fun fact. She's a Latina. Pues un gusto de tenerte aquí. Thank you so much again.
Muchas gracias.
Again, Maddie Diaz, Weird Faith, go purchase the vinyl if you really enjoy the album. Otherwise, it's streamable on all platforms. And yeah, follow her on Instagram and all the social medias. And hit subscribe. Don't forget to hit subscribe. Thank you so much for watching.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Byron Gonzalez. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College, streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.